everybody that's here, Tony and Martin and John. John Spasovich, AG9D, is our Echolink and RLP guy up in Illinois. And we'll go ahead. Hello, everyone. This is Keith Pugh, W5IU. And for the benefit of our Australian friends, I also have an Australian call, ZK6. Be right back. Your amateur radio moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we hope to soon establish ham radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies. Whoops. Yeah, I was getting in the view there. As it flies more than 200 miles above the Earth over the Indian Ocean and Australia. This is all accomplished with ARIS, that's amateur radio on the International Space Station. And the ISS is currently flying over the Indian Ocean, moving along at around 17,500 miles per hour. This contact will be performed using the Amateur Radio Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ARIS is a consortium of ham radio volunteers from 9 nations that develop and operate the amateur radio station on the International Space Station. Some members of ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT, Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, the Canadian Space Agency, European Space Agency, JASA in Japan, NASA in the U.S., and Roscosmos in Russia. The amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is VK6MJ in Meadow Spring, which is near Perth, Western Australia. And it's operated by Martin Diggins, VK6MJ. And today we also have Tony Hutchison, VK5ZAI in Kingston, South Australia, online to help if needed. Thanks for helping us out, Martin and Tony. Okay, we have about 4 minutes now until contact time, and our contact for today is with the National Scouting Museum, and the ham radio contact coordinator for the school or the museum is Tom Schussler, N5HYP. Now, we've asked the Boy Scouts of America JOTA organizer, Jim Wilson, K5MD, to please briefly tell us about the event and the students taking part today.
Thanks, Keith, and thanks to AMSAT for putting this on for us. This is part of our Jamboree on the Air activities here at the National Scouting Museum in Irving, Texas. Jamboree on the Air happens the third weekend of October every year. And typically there are 750,000 scouts that get on the air from 6,000 amateur radio stations across 150 different countries. In the U.S., we currently have 350 stations registered for Jamboree on the Air operations that represent just over 30,000 scouts. Here today at the National Scouting Museum, about 150 people in attendance. It may even be up to 175 now since the last time that I checked. We have 35 amateur radio operators here doing all sorts of activities, and so that scouts can see the technology, the fun, and the magic of amateur radio. So thank you very much.
And Martin, can you briefly tell us about your station and how you'll handle the contact?
Absolutely. My name is Martin, and I'm located in the coastal town of Mandurah or Meadow Springs, which is approximately 70 kilometers south of the city of Perth, right on the coast of the Indian Ocean. Much of my home radio equipment is homemade, including the computer control tracking system and sun patch currently in use. The space station is about 1.5 minutes away. I would like all participants to speak with very strong and clear voices. When you finish a question, please say the word over just to let astronaut Sonny Williams know that it's her turn to speak on the radio. At question 14, I will be handing the telebridge over to Tony in South Australia. And this is something that doesn't happen very often, so we'll be very interested to see how that goes. Just before I start the call, I will open the mute or squelch on the radio, which sounds like this. And then I'll begin to call. So, back to you, Pete.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Now, remember that what we are doing on the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And students, don't forget to say over. And with that, I'm showing that it's almost time, so back to you, Martin.
Okay, very good. Well, we have about 24 seconds to go, and then I'll begin to call. Okay, just standing by, and here we go. NA1SS, this is Victor Kilo 6, Mexico Juliet. Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet in Perth, calling NA1SS, NA1SS, this is VK6MJ for scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. Kilo 6, Mexico Juliet. Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet in Perth, calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over.
Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet, November Alpha 1, Sierra Sierra, got you loud and clear. How many? Over.
Armchair copy, Sonny. Very good. NA1SS, VK 6, Mike Juliet. Over to the first question, please.
Hi, this is Ben from Virginia. What have you enjoyed studying most during your time as an astronaut? Over.
Hey, Ben, great question, and just wanted to say thanks for inviting me to the Jamboree on the Air. I think to answer your question, probably one of the most interesting things is learning about our international partners. I'm up here with a Russian cosmonaut and a Japanese astronaut, so we have training in those other countries, which is really fun and cool. And as this is the 55th anniversary of Jamboree on the Air, it's also the 55th anniversary of the launch of Sputnik. So pretty neat to know all this international stuff. Over.
Hello, this is Enoch. What advice would you give to someone who wants to be an astronaut? Over.
Well, there's lots of good at what they do. Other things, of course, is everybody has a math and science background. Particularly, I like working on stuff, cars, airplanes, and things like that, and there's a lot of mechanical stuff up here that helps. That background is definitely beneficial for being an astronaut. Over.
Hello, this is Chandler. Can you tell us about one of the experiments you're doing on the space station and how it will help us back? Over.
Sure. We're doing all sorts of experiments up here, biology, mechanical, fluids, physics, all sorts of stuff. Some of the things that we're doing going to happen just recently is we're actually going to get fish on board, and we're going to look at their skeletal structure, their transparent, and see what happens to them, because we undergo something like accelerated osteoporosis up here. We're trying to learn about that, and we're doing that through the fish. Microgravity accelerates it, and that will probably help people who have osteoporosis back on the ground. Over.
Hi, this is Garrett. What do you do during your downtime aboard the space station? Over.
Great question, and we do try to have weekends up here and take a little bit of a break between all the experiments and other type of operational stuff we're doing. So actually this weekend, I was cleaning for a little while, but other things we do is we have TV shows that are uplinked. Sometimes we have football on the weekends through a live satellite, so we get to do it. And, of course, look out the window, take pictures, and working on our photography skills of the universe as well as the Earth. Over.
Hello, this is Daniel. How do you communicate with your family while you're aboard the space station? Over.
No, well, that satellite, which provides us the football sometimes, will also provide us communications through the Internet Protocol telephone, so we can call our parents and family and friends probably about 20 minutes every hour that's available if you have free time. We also have video conferences set up that's a little more complicated on the weekend, so tomorrow I can call my parents and, of course, my dogs who I can't talk to on the telephone. Over.
Hi, I'm Amok. How many other planets have you seen from the space station? Over.
So I've probably seen as many planets up here as I've seen on the ground. So, let's see, Mars and Venus, Jupiter, Saturn I haven't figured out quite yet. But, you know, we're not that much closer. We're only about 200 feet above the Earth. The difference is here, though, there's no atmosphere. So those are crystal clear. You can really tell that Mars is red. Over.
Hi, this is Jimmy. What are the different jobs an astronaut can have on board the space station? Over.
Hey, Sammy. Well, everybody sort of does everything up here, which is what makes it a lot of fun. Never 2 days that are the same. So sometimes you're going out on a spacewalk. Sometimes you're driving the robotic arm. Sometimes you're working on the toilet. So all of us do all those jobs. Right now I'm the commander, but that really only applies, you know, when we have, like, an emergency situation, so someone's in charge. But that's pretty much all, because we're all, the three of us up here, there will be six, and we all work together as a team. Over.
Hi, this is Steven. Do stars, size, and color look different when you see them in space?
What's interesting about the stars is there's so many of them. There's nothing here, no light pollution. No fear to blur them or to just allow us to see them. So it really looks like space is really 3D. It doesn't look like just a black mat with you know, stars, like bright spots on there. They look like there are different depths in the universe. So that's really what's different. And again, they're crystal clear. Over.
Hi, this is Chad. How long does it take to get ISS from the Earth? Over.
Right now, we usually it takes about 8 minutes to get up to space, and then we chase the space station. It takes 2 days to get to the space station, but we're working on another profile, which means that you could probably get here in about 6 hours after you left Earth. Over.
Hi, this is Spencer. What do you do if someone needs medical attention while in space? Over.
Hey, Spencer, great question, because not all of us are doctors up here. Actually, right now, none of us are doctors, and so we do a little bit of medical training back on Earth, and so we do attend to anything that's immediate, has to happen. We know how to do that. We also have flight surgeons that are back on the ground, and so they can, through the radio, help us if we need some assistance and some guidance. Over.
Hi, this is Ben from Virginia. Which is better, Earth's gravity or weightlessness in space, and why? Over.
Over to you, Sonny.
I think we wouldn't be what we are without Earth's gravity. It's meaning that
Roger.
The world was formed, so it's better that we actually sit on Earth and play there. But being in space is awesome. It's like half being a bird and half being a fish. Just flying around up here is really great. But I miss Earth, and I miss all the fun things that are back there, you know, the wind and the ocean and things like that. So being on Earth is really nice. Space is cool, though. Over.
Hello, this is Enoch. Would you ever want to go on a mission to Mars? Why or why not? Over.
It's not too far away, actually. Probably around the corner for you guys. Certainly love to go. I think, you know, we have a lot to learn when we get there. Robots are great there. Of course, they'll pave the way for us. But to be on the spot making decisions to make their next discovery, I think people need to be there. And I would love to be one of those people. But I think I might be too old. You guys are right in there. Over.
Hello, this is Chandler. In scouting, we practice leave no trace, meaning that we leave campsites as we found them. How do you practice leave no trace in space? Over.
As a matter of fact, we're sort of practicing it right now, particularly on the space station. We're getting ready for our next crew to come up, and so we're cleaning our space station, making sure it's all squared away. Now, what do you do with the trash is the next question. We put it in a vehicle that has an entry profile such that it burns up as it comes into space. So everything is nicely packed in that spacecraft, and it burns up, and so it's really no trace as it comes back. As it doesn't, you know, burns up, it doesn't really get all the way back to Earth or in space. Over.
Hi, this is Garrett. What is one goal that you want to achieve as an astronaut? Over.
Ooh, that's I'm just amazed that I am an astronaut at times, actually. I think what I'd like to do is leave the impression for particularly young girls and young boys, of course, too, that, you know, we're common, normal people, and if you guys want to do this job, you can do this job just like any of us. None of us are extra special. We just have a lot of determination and reach for our goals. Over.
Hello, this is Daniel. I am working on the Astronomy Merit Badge. What is your favorite planet or moon in our solar system and why?
Over.
Big question. Mars is tempting, of course. Venus, it looks cool, but it's hot. Saturn is beautiful, and Jupiter, thank God we have Jupiter. It protects us with its big gravitational field. But like I said earlier, I think our planet, looking at it from up here, it is so beautiful, so colorful, so lively. It has to be my favorite. Also, our moon, because I'd like to go to our moon and look at our Earth from the moon distance. Over.
Hi, this is Moog. What is the scariest part of being in space? Over.
So, you know, you don't really think about the scary stuff too much because you have to live up here, right? So I think the scariest part is that surrounding us is the vacuum of space. And you're in a spacecraft that's protecting you. And even when you're on a spacewalk, your spacesuit is a little spacecraft that protects you. And you just don't think about, you know, what bad things can happen. Instead, you focus on how to prevent those bad things from happening and knowing as much as you can so that you don't really get scared or surprised. Over.
Hi, this is Sammy. Why do you think space travel is important to science and engineering? Over.
Hey, Sammy, great question. I think that space travel is really important to science and engineering because it makes us think out of the box. It makes us, I mean, when you think back 100 years ago, people would not be doing what we're doing with computers right now if they didn't start thinking differently. And to design a system or a project or a program that will work in space with radiation and vacuum and heating and cooling, it'll push you further and make you design something better and newer and have new ideas. That's why I think it's important. Over.
Hi, this is Steven. What is the most valuable thing you have learned since becoming an astronaut? Over.
I think it all relates back to, again, international relations. You know, the International Space Station is over 16 countries are participating in it, and I don't think we could have made this beautiful big space station without the help of each other. And it's a joint effort by many nations, and I think that's probably the most cool thing that I've learned in how we've been able to share technology and engineering with each other and ideas. It's over.
Hi, this is Chaz. What is your favorite food in space?
Interesting you ask. You know, as a matter of fact, we just got ice cream up here, which we haven't had, and I do miss that on Earth, but that's not necessarily space food. I think space food, I like, I think the dehydrated corn. I don't know why. It tastes really good. Maybe it's because it has some butter on it, but it tastes really, really good. Over.
Hello, this is Spencer. Do you think we will ever return to the moon? If so, when? Over.
I think absolutely. To be able to go to Mars and have a productive space station there, we're going to have to practice a little bit. And the moon is a little bit closer, and we can practice really well how humans will live off of our Earth planet by going back to the moon as a test bed. And I think you guys will be doing that. Over.
Hi.
This is Tony. We have about 2 minutes left. So any more?
Hi, this is Ben again. Do you dream differently while in space? Over.
Ben, can you ask your question one more time? You're getting a little bit broken.
Sorry. Hi, this is Ben from Virginia. Do you dream differently while in space? Over.
Oh, gosh, Ben, I can't understand you exactly, but I have a feeling you asked about dreams. Is that correct? Over?
Yes, over.
My father, who's a neurologist, asked me about that. And, you know, it's interesting because I think I dream more on experiences. So now that I've been up here, I dream about being in space, but I also dream about being home. I was dreaming about my dog the other day, as a matter of fact, and walking on the beach with him. So it's interesting. Dreams, I've been actively dreaming. And another thing that happens up here is we see little flashes sometimes from radiation as you're starting to go to sleep. It's usually an indicator I'm going to have a lot of dreams. Over.
Hello, this is Enoch. Does being in space give you a different perspective on the world and humanity in general? Over.
Guys, I think we've come to the end, and the station is just going over the horizon, so have a big thank you.
Okay. We want to everybody give a big cheer. They might still hear it. Okay.
Thank you, Sonny.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have shared a moment of history. Amateur radio stations VK6MJ and ZAI in Meadow Spring, Western Australia, and Kingston SE, South Australia, operated by Martin Diggins and Tony Hutchison, contacted Sunita Williams, 85PLB, aboard the International Space Station, talking with scouts at the National Scouting Museum in Irving, Texas. And now for the International Volunteer Team of us, including the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, CSA, ESA, JAXA, NASA, and Roscosmos, this is Keith Pugh, amateur radio operator, W5IU/VK6DRB, sending my greetings to all of you in amateur radio terms, 73 or best wishes. Thank you.
Online, Martin, still?
Yeah, I'm still here. You still hear me?
Okay, yes, Keith.